Rav Chinina bar Papa, Rami, he had a stira in the psukim. K'tiv, the pasuk in Iyov says, Shakai lo mitzanuhu sagi koach. With regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did not find him overbearing in his strength. Uchtiv, and in Tehillim it says, Gadol Adonenu v'rav koach. That our master is great, v'rav koach, and full of strength or power. Uchtiv. And in addition, it says, Yemincha Hashem nedari bakoach, that Hashem, your right hand, is adorned in strength. So one place it sounds like Hashem's strength is low-key, and the other places it sounds like Hashem's strength is overbearing and very apparent and strong. Lo kasha, kan b'shat adin, kan b'shat milchama. Depends what you're involved with. If we're speaking about milchama, that's when Hashem unleashes all of his power and he shows his tremendous might. The other hand, when it comes to Shat Adin, that's where Hashem holds back. And we see this in the Parshiyot that we're involved with. Rashi brings this a number of times, which is that when Moshe is warning Paro about what Hashem is about to bring, and when Hashem speaks to Moshe about the situation of Paro, first of all, he warns him up front what he's going to do, which is not the way that usually a person going to war would do. They take away the element of surprise. Over here, Hashem discloses everything up front. And the second thing is, when Hashem unleashes his power, he controls it. And it doesn't go anywhere and do whatever it wants. It does specifically what Hashem wants it to do. So B'Shat Adin, Hashem, unlike human beings, where their anger or their strength can get the better of them, Hashem is exacting in the din. It doesn't overbear. It doesn't show too much strength. And we'll see in a second, even maybe shows Rachamim Badin. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Rami. Rami, he has a steer in the psukim, tiva. It says, ktiv, it says, chema, ainli, which makes it sound like anger is not with me, or I have no anger. Uchtiv, and then it says, nokem Hashem, ubal chema. The beginning of the pasuk is, kel kone v'nokem Hashem. Hashem is a jealous and vengeful God. Nokem Hashem, ubal chema. Hashem is vengeful and has tremendous fury or anger. Lo kashon, that's not a problem. Kan b'Yisrael, kan b'Ovdei Kochavim. Depends about whom you are speaking, whether it's speaking about the Jews or speaking about the non-Jews. When it comes to the Jews, then Hashem has removed his anger. When it comes to the non-Jews, Hashem lets his anger out. Chinina bar Papa Amar, that's the girsa that we have up in Rashi. You can see in the first narrow line in Rashi, he seems to have a girsa of Rav Acha bar Chanina. Chema Ainli, Shekavar Nishbati. The reason that I have no fury is because I already took an oath. Me itneni. Who would have given me shalom nishbati that I didn't take this oath? Be'yeshamir v'shait. So here the pasuk from Yeshayahu is chema einli, which is what we quoted before. Me itneni shamir shait b'milchama efsa'aba atzitena yachad. So God says fury or anger is not in me. Shamir v'shait are the weeds and the thorns or the briars and the thorns. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them and I would burn them together. And those aren't things that would stop a Kodesh Baruch Hu when he goes out in his anger, when he goes out to battle. And the way that Rav Chinina bar Papa is explaining it is, why is a Kodesh Baruch Hu bound by his anger? Because Shekvar Nishbati, that I already took an oath, Mi Itneni Shelo Nishbati. And who had given it that I had not taken this Shvua, because then I could burn through, or I could lay desolation to that I want to. The way that Rashi reads it over here, of Acher Bar Chanina says, Tarvayu B'Yisrael. Both of them are applying to Israel. So before we gave the answer that is, Lo Kasha Kan B'Yisrael, Kan B'Obdei Kochomim, over here, when we brought Rav Chinina bar Papa, again, Rashi's girsa was Rav Achar bar Chanina, he says that the answer here now says, Kan v'kan v'Yisrael, that both of them apply to Klal Yisrael. And it says, even though I am a Baal Chema, even though I get angry and I have fury and I do take revenge, God says, that's gone, ainli. It doesn't exist anymore. Shekvar nishbati, I already took an oath
to their forefathers
not to do this, or not to be angry anymore. And then, behind Udamar of Alexandri, Maidi Chtiv, and this is similar to what Rabbi Alexandri says, Vaya Bayomahu, Avakesh Lashmidet Kol HaGoyim, be on that day that I will want to destroy all the nations, Habayim HaYerushalayim, they come to attack Yerushalayim, it's from Zechariah, about the battles of Gog and Magog, Avakesh Mimi, From who is Hashem asking permission? It says, Vayabayom Avakesh, Lashmid Kol Goyim, Abayim Ayushalayim. Who's God asking permission to destroy them? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Avakesh, Beniganei Shalahem. I'll look into, the way Rashi translates it over here, Sefer Zikaron Masehem. I'll look into their book of deeds and see if they are deserving or not deserving. The way that the Balei Tosafot read it is, Shebeginanei Shalahem Perish, in their actions. V'im yesh lehem zchut afadeim. If they have merits, I will redeem them. V'im lav ashmideim. And if not, I will destroy them. Now this comes to a machloket Rashi and Tosafot, how to read this last piece that we just read, which is Hainu Dama Rabbi Alexandri. This is exactly what Rabbi Alexandri said. Where is the reference that he's saying, Behainu? This is also the case. Rashi claims this goes back to the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph, that of course Baruch Hu is not Ba Bitronia in Ma'asav. God does not come in an imperious, dictatorial way on his creations. And that's what it says now. This is a continuation of that statement way back, behind Udama Rabbi Alexandri. Alexandri shows you that even when God comes to destroy the nations coming on Yerushalayim, he checks their Nigani first. He checks either their Book of Deeds according to Rashi or their Ma'asim according to Tosafot. And that's referencing back to that. He just doesn't do it without any checks. He makes sure that that's what they are deserving of. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot bring from their Beinu Tam, Velo Nihira Perusho. They disagree with Rashi. Da Ifsik Leituva. There's been too much of a gap between the Babitronia, which is on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, all the way there in the middle of Dalet Amud Aleph, with all these topics. The Gemara does do that sometimes, gets sidetracked a little bit, but this is heavily sidetracked, so much so that you would expect the Gemara to make a reference back to it if it was just opening in the middle of something and saying, Behind Udamai Rabbi Alexandri. It seems almost like a non sequitur if it really belongs back there. And therefore the Rabbeinu Dam believes, Tekoi Ahad the Sodik. He says it's basically referencing what we just left. Kan Bisrael, Kan Be Obdei Kochamim. That one applies to Israel, and one applies to Obdei Kochamim. So we just said before about God's fury or God's anger, the first answer we gave was, Kan Bisrael, Kan Be Obdei Kochamim. That was one answer. Then we gave a second answer was, Afilo Tarvayu Be Israel. You know, both of them reference Israel. It's a difference that God is angry or vengeful, but he took a shvuah to not exercise that or let it out. And then we have this statement, behind Udama Rabbi Alexandri. And this you can see from Alexandri here, that God says, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to wipe them out completely. And that was the difference we saw before between Yisrael and Obdei Kochavim. Does God let his anger out, or does he not let his anger out? With the Obdei Kochavim, he does. And you see that here. He wants to lashmid. He wants to wipe them out completely. Versus, which we'll see in a second, the other alternative, which is, Vainu Dama Roba, and this is what Roba says, Maidichtiv, what is meant by the Pasuk, Ach lo bi'i ishlach yad, not in fury will I send out my arm or my hand, im bifido, if it is by destruction, lahen shua, then there is relief, or they do have salvation. So here it says that even though God's going to extend his hand in fury, there is some sort of salvation, or Malam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Kashani danet Israel. When I judge Israel, ein adi danotam ko uvdei ko chavim. I do not judge them like the other nations. Yechtiv, ava, 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 asimena. Ella. But rather, ani niframem kipid shotarnegolet. I rather punish them like the way that the rooster pecks away at things. Rashi writes, nikor, which is to peck away or slowly eats and pecks away whatever it's eating. They go at it slowly. So too Hashem takes retribution on Israel slowly or piecemeal. Behester panim. He does it by hester panim, which is very interesting that Rashi says that. And Hashem uses that as the vehicle to allow them to have olam haba. He slowly takes that retribution in order to free them of the sin. So in this version, or the way that, let's say the Rabbeinu Tam is reading it, we now had two statements here. The first statement was about what's going to happen to the non-Jews. The second statement is about what's going to happen to the Jews, which is, the first statement says, Ashmid, I will wipe them out completely, which sounds like utter destruction or total destruction. And over here it says, Imbifido, Lahen Shua. If it's for a time of destruction, there is salvation, or they do have relief from that. That's a reference to Klal Yisrael, that they will not be destroyed completely, and that the retribution will take in a slow manner. And that's what Hashem says at the end. When I judge them, I don't judge them like the other nations. Now I'm going back to that pasuk in Yechezkel, which is a little difficult because there's a machlok between Rashi and the Marsha as to what it references over here. The pasuk in Yechezkel says, Ava, 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 Asimenu. The word Ava means a ruin or a desolation. So it says, a ruin, a ruin, a ruin, I will make it. And that shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. That's the puzzle. Question is, how do you read this Ava, Ava, Ava? If you look in Rashi, Rashi brings that Ava, Ava, Ava. He brings the translation in the following manner. It says, Ivui, Ifta. They did a sin, or they sinned a sin. Ula Ava Asimena. And therefore, I will bring upon them their punishment. It says, they were obligated, or they did something that they were chayav for. In their sin, I will take retribution from them. So Rashi says, the pasuk is dealing with the Ovdei Kochavim, that ava, ava, ava means destruction, desolation, that ava at the end, that they are chayav for a chait that they did, ava, they will be wiped out completely. And so Rashi sees it speaking about or reinforcing the idea that the non-Jews will be wiped out completely. Now this might be Rashi l'shitato, because Rashi before said that Rav Alexandri, when he was speaking about the destruction of the other nations, Rashi said that's going back to Babitronia. That's going back to what Hashem said, that I don't act imperiously or dictatorially with my people. Therefore, they don't have a proof for the fact that Hashem wipes out or destroys the other nation. Therefore, this is the Gemara's proof that Hashem will take out retribution on them in one big punishment or one complete and utter destruction. Although the Marsha says that the pasuk is referring to Israel, if you look in the context in Yechezkel, it's not referring to the non-Jews, it's actually referring to the Jews. And he says that the Ava, Ava, Ava is exactly that, that the destruction, desolation, punishment will come in small doses. And that's why he writes it three times, to say to you that it'll be a little here, a little here, a little here, and therefore it's a reference to Israel. But again, if you read like the Baal Tosafot, the Rav Alexandri already brought you the proof that the Akum is destroyed immediately or completely, then it makes sense that to use this pasuk referring to Israel to show that they get that in small doses. Whereas for Rashi, who read the other pasuk as dealing with the Gemara before, then this is his proof to the fact that the non-Jews will be destroyed completely. Now, Gemara continues, Davar acher, Afilu ein Yisrael osim mitzvah lefanai ki im me'at, even if Bnei Yisrael only engage in a small number of mitzvot, kipid shel tanegolim shenakrim ba'ashpa, like the pecking or the beak of the rooster that goes into the garbage and pecks away at it in a small way, ani mitzarfam lecheshbon gadol. Shem says, I bring them together, I'll consolidate them into a big benefit or merit for them. Shenemar, Im bifido lahen shua. That if it is in pido, meaning small amounts, lahen shua, they will have salvation. So Hashem will aggregate, consolidate the small number of mitzvot so that it will bring salvation to Israel. So rather than reading the word shua as relief for salvation, it's reading it as mishaveya, which means to cry out or to daven. So with the reward that they cry out to me, or they daven before me, ani moshiotam, God says, I will bring them salvation. So those are three different ways to read it. One way to read it is that Hashem brings the punishment in a slow and measured manner. The other way to read it is that Hashem consolidates or aggregates the small number of mitzvot into a larger merit. Or that Hashem says that even though I need to punish you and I need to bring retribution upon you, if you cry out to me, if you daven, there will be salvation. And that's what Rabbi Abba says, what is meant by the pasuk in Hosea, Anochi efdem, Behema dibru alai kesavim. I was trying to redeem them, and they spoke treacherously against me, or they spoke lies against me. Ani amarti efdem b'momanam ve'olam hazeh. I said I would take retribution on them with their wealth or their money in this world, kadei sheyizku l'olam haba, so that they will merit olam haba. Behema dibru alai kesavim. and they spoke treacherously or lies against me, meaning the Jews feel that God is persecuting them and making them downtrodden. What they don't realize is God's taking out all their sins in this world so that they'll get the reward in the world to come. So they misperceive that persecution as being something that Hashem is taking out on them or being unfair to them. Meantime, Hashem's doing it for their own benefit, and they don't understand that. And this is similar to what Rav Papi says in the name of Rav. Vani isarti, I will afflict them. Chizakti zro otam, I will strengthen their arms. Va'alai yechashvu ra. In the meantime, they will think negatively upon me or evil upon me. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani amarti isareim b'isurim b'olam hazeh. I thought to afflict them and give them isurim in this world, kidei sheyechazku zro otam le'olam haba, to strengthen their arms, to give them power in olam haba. Ve'alai yechashvu ra. They thought it was negative, meaning that they misinterpreted, again, the Isurim as being persecution, rather than understanding that Hashem was giving them the opportunity for Olam Haba. Mishtabeach lu Rabbi Abba, the Minei b'Rav Safra. Rabbi Abba was praising to the Minim, who obviously wielded some power at that time, about Rav Safra, the Adam Gadolhu, that he was a great Talmud Chacham, and therefore, Shavkulei Michsa Tetleisa Shnin. They waived his tax obligation for 13 years. So here you have the parsonage or the ability for someone who is of stature to be released from the tax payments. So Rabbi Abba had praise to these minim who controlled the taxing authorities or who controlled the situation locally, that Rav Safra was a great man. And because they abide by Rabbi Abba's suggestion, they released Rabbi Safra from taxes for 13 years. Yom Echad Ashkechu. One day they actually bumped into Rav Safra, and they find out who the real Rav Safra is. Amar Leh Ktiv, Pasuk says, Rak itchem yadati mikol mishpachot adama. I just you, or you I knew better than any of the other nations of the earth. Again, efkod aleichem, avenotechem. Therefore, I will punish you with all your sins. So it seems to be incongruous. Because Hashem knows them the best, or is most familiar with them, therefore he punishes them. Why does that make sense? Man de itle, either sisya or susya, we'll make a difference in a second, berachme, mesikle, Rashi brings both interpretations down. If you read it, susya, man de itle, susya bisha, one who has a bad horse, or a horse that doesn't behave, berachme, mesikle, he puts his beloved or his family member on the horse, meaning that if the horse is a wild horse, a wild stallion, you're gonna put somebody who you care about on that horse? Absolutely not. So that's the mashal and nimshal, obviously over here. Because God loves Bnei Yisrael so much, therefore he's going to punish them more? Doesn't make sense. Or the other way to read it, as Rashi notes, is sisya is anger or curse. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Man de'itle sisya berachme, basically. Someone has a curse or anger, he's going to take it out on the one that he loves, on the one that is closest to him. It doesn't make sense. So ishtik, velo amar lo velo mide. Safra had nothing to say to them. He had nothing to answer them. Ramule sudra bitzavare. They wrapped a cloth or his turban around his neck. Become itzavare. And they were pressuring him. So whether that means literally they were trying to choke him to squeeze out from him the answer because they thought he had the answer after Rabbi Abba told them Rav Safra was a great guy. Or they took his turban off his head or his head covering off his head, which was a sign of his status, and they threw it on his neck, meaning that they were disparaging towards him. They were giving him a hard time. Over here, Rav Safra lives in the generation of Rabba and Rav Yosef. He spends time both in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael. And it's possible already here that we're speaking about the rise of Christianity, and that's the meaning that we're speaking about here, which would make some sense because they're talking about Torah Shebichtav, which they did spend a lot of time on, and they were very familiar with Torah Shebichtav. It's not a question of Torah Shebaalpeh. It's literally a Torah Shebichtav, how do I interpret this pasuk type of question. So that makes sense. Or whether it was just a min, like a Karite, or somebody along those lines who were only focused on Torah Shebichtav, which we find also in the time of the Geunim, a rise of these types of individuals, even though it's a little later than this, probably a couple hundred years later, we do see a rise of individuals who are looking at interpretation of Torah Shebichtav and ignoring Torah Shebaal Peh, living their religious life based on Torah Shebichtav. Then, after Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba shows up on the scene, Ashkechino, Amalo, am I mitzaritule? What's going on here? Why are you giving Rav Safra such a hard time? Amrulei, v'lam amartlan, dadam gadolho. Didn't you tell us he was a big gun? And we've been releasing him for taxes for 13 years? We ask him a simple question. And they can't give us basic interpretation of a pasuk. So Amar lo, he says them. Amar damri luchu bitna'ei. Bikara'ei mi amri luchu. Since when I told you he was a great guy, that was in Mishnayot. That was in Torah Shebe'al Peh. I never said he was an expert in Torah Shebe'chtav. So Amar lo, Maishna atun di'editun. Why do you know the interpretation? Whenever we speak to you, we always get answers from you. You're always debating us about the interpretation of the Pesukim or give me an explanation. If he's such a big gun and he's greater than you, why is he not know the interpretation of the Pesukim and you do? I, who spends a lot of time with you, we look into the matters. We know you're going to ask the questions. We know that you're going to give us a hard time. So we get prepared in order to debate you. I spend more time on Torah Shebichtav because I know that's where you're going to question us or bother us. They, the great ones, are learning Torah Shebi'al Peh. They're not focused on this. They don't interact with you, so they don't spend so much time on the Pashup Chat of the Psukim. So why don't you tell us what the answer is? Why don't you tell us the interpretation of the Pasuk? Let me give you a parable to which this is similar. Adam shenoshe mishnei bnei Adam. Person who is a creditor to two people, echad ohavo v'echad sono. One of them is someone he's close with, a relative, and the other one he has no relationship with. Ohavo nifra mimenu ma'at ma'at. The one that he's close with, his relative, he makes him pay it back in small quantities in order that the debt gets paid off. Sono nifra mimenu bevat achat. When it comes to the one he has no relationship for, he says, give me the balloon payment, pay me all at once. And as you can understand that, Rashi, because of here, Kach Yisrael Nifra Mahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Et Kol Bnei Dehem Balam Hazeh, so too Hashem takes retribution on Yisrael in this world, Kadesh Yisgul Yom HaDin, so that they will succeed on Yom HaDin. Uvadat Kochavim, Enu Nifrahem Klal. The Ovdei Kochavim, he lets them do what they want. Kadei Litardan Min Olam Haba. In order that they lose their Olam Haba, and he'll take retribution on them, Let's see the vote. Upikida mashma ma'at ma'at. And the word pikida, and that's how Rashi says that he learned it from this pasuk, means in small doses or small portions. And then that's how he interpreted the pasuk that they were asking about, which is, Rak etchem yadati mikom mishpat adama, alkein efgod aleichem et ovenoteichem. Doesn't simply mean that I will bring retribution, but I will slowly, pikida, slowly, slowly I will do that. In the same way that, in a sense, the Lashon that Yosef and Yaakov use in terms of their message about the Geula from Mitzrayim is Pakod Yifkod Etchem, that Hashem will redeem them, but it'll come in a slow manner. It's not going to be this instantaneous redemption. It's not going to happen momentarily. And then the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, my dichtiv, what is meant by the Pasuk about Avram when he's arguing with Hashem about Sodom? Woe would be to you, or it would be inappropriate, Hashem, if you were to kill the tzaddik with the rasha. It is profanity for you to do such a thing. To kill the tzaddik with the rasha, in a sense, is the antithesis of what Hashem does in Mitzrayim, where he does divide. And he is very careful, and Makat Pokorot is that ultimate divider between Bnei Yisrael and the Egyptians. And so here, where Hashem makes no distinction between them, that seems to be a lack of, called Kiddush Hashem, or fair judgment, or fair repercussions to one's actions that Hashem usually displays in his interactions with individuals.
Mar says below, is that really true? Aktiv, Ichrati Mimcha Tzadik V'Rasha. So it says in Yechezkel, that once Hashem allows the Mashkitim to go loose, that they're going to wipe away from you both the tzaddik and the rasha. So there is no distinction between them. There, Gemara answers, b'tzaddik she'enu gamur. It's talking about a tzaddik who's not a full-fledged tzaddik. Aval, b'tzaddik gamur, lo. But if he's talking about a full-fledged tzaddik, that would not be the case. V'aktiv. But doesn't the pasuk say, u'mimigdashi tachelu, that I will begin with that which is sanctified, or in essence, my sanctuary, my mikdash, is where I'll begin the destruction. Betani, Rav Yosef, al tigri mimikdashi. Don't read it from that place that is sanctified, Ella, mikudashai, from those that are sanctified. Elu bnei adam shekimu at haTorah mi'alef ataf. These are people who kept the Torah from A to Z. So you're talking about here, seemingly it's tzaddikim gemurim. And so it says there, tachilu, God will begin the destruction of the punishment with them. Hotam nami, kemin shaya bi'adam limchot, velo michu, havaluk tzaddikim, she'inan gemurim. Over there, since they had the capacity to chastise and change the behavior of the other people, and they did not do that, they're held accountable for it. And that's a position the Gemara takes in many places. It's a very damning statement of the Gemara, which is that if you have the ability or the capacity to stop someone from doing a sin, and you don't intercede, then you are painted with that sin. It becomes your problem as well. Here, also, the tzaddikim gemurim. That's what it says. They kept the Torah mi'alef ataf. But they only kept the Torah mi'alef ataf. They didn't stop those people. They could have. They didn't influence their generation the way that they could have, and therefore they're held accountable for it. Bali Tosfot here, quote, the Gemara in Baba Batra, also in Erevin, which says that, Mutav Shiyu Shogegim, Bayu Mezidim. It's better not to tell people about things. It's better that they are Shogegim. They do it unintentionally than if you tell them, and then they continue to do it, and then they are intentional violators. He says, Hainu B'davar, Shiyadua Shalo Yikablu Imachu. That's only true about something you know for certain if you chastise them that they won't keep it or they won't listen. The truth is that the Mishnah Berurah brings it from the Ramah in Tafrei Shchet that many of the Rishonim noted that there is a distinction between Dinei Derabbanan and Dinei Deoraita. That with regards to Dinei Derabbanan, we do say Mutav Yu Shogim Vav Tiyu Mezidim. That's where the Gemara invokes it in Erevin. But by Dinei Deoraita, Ein Chochma Vein Tvuna Neged Hashem. There, there's no thought about it. You have to say it and have to do whatever is incumbent upon you with regards to Deoraita. And over there, we have the imperative to engage the other parties and tell them that they're doing something wrong, mi Deoraita. Over here, then you have to understand where the qualification is. When you know they're not going to listen, is that only applied by Dinei Derabbanan? And that's where we say, Mutav Shiyu Shogim. Or do you apply that even by Dinei Deoraita, which is that if you know they're not going to listen, it's not worth engaging them? There you machloket as to whether it applies there, but generally we assume it applies only to Dinei Derabbanan, or drashot midoraita that are not mifurash in the Torah. Dinei Derabbanan, the person has to speak up about. Papa brought up a steer on the psukim. Kel zoem bechoyom, that God gets angry every day. Uchdiv, but the pasuk in Nachum says, lifnei za'amo miyamot, who can stand before God's anger? Well, if God gets angry every day, and nobody could stand in front of God's anger, then nobody be around anymore. Lo kasha. Kan biyachid, kan bitzibur. Depends how you're approaching God. An individual will not be able to stand up to the wrath of God, but the tzibur, the zchut tzibur, even though he gets angry each day, they are able to survive. Which means that the zchut tzibur means that the congregation as a whole, or klaiso as a whole, will survive, or will exist. That does make any promise to individuals. So the corporate entity, Klal Yisrael, is promised to continue, but that doesn't mean the components of that are guaranteed that they will survive the anger of God. Tanu Rabbanan, Kel Zoem B'Kol Yom, V'Kama Za'amo. How long, or what is the duration of his wrath or his anger? Rega, for a moment. V'Kama Rega. And how long is that moment? Achat Mechamesh Ribo, V'Shloshed Alafim, Shmona Meot, V'Arbaim U'Shmona. So it's 50,000 plus 3,000. Plus 800, plus 48, which is 53,848, bisha'a. So it's 153,848 of an hour. It's very hard to know what the significance of this number is. There is a view, I think, of the Rabbeinu Tam, who comes up with view it based on the Gemara
and the Tosefta in Brachot,
that says that every hour can be broken down into 24 parts, every minute to 24 parts, every second to 24 parts. So he puts 24 to the third power, but he comes up with a different number then, which is not found in our Gemara, but that at least he's trying to give significance to how they came about the number. But the number that we have here does not ring any bell or significance. Zohi rega, that is a moment. Ve'en kol b'riyah yechola lekaven otah rega. Nobody can get that exact moment when God gets angry. Chutz mi Bilam harasha, with the exception of Bilam dichtiv bei, because it says about him, ve'yodea dat elyon. He knows the things that go on above. And here the Gemara is going to ask the question, Efshar dat be moto lo yada. that the Yom Yavayoda? He didn't know what his donkey was thinking. How does he know what's going on in the heavens? Now, Bali Tosvot say the reason for the question is the implications of Yodea Datayon means that he, through his own capacities, was able to figure out what was going on in heaven. Wasn't that he was a Navi and he had Nivuah? Makes it sound like he was extremely wise or he had the insights to do this. We have such great insights. How does he have insights like that and he misses what his animal is saying? And now when we say he's missing what his animal is saying, it doesn't mean that he missed the fact that his animal in the end talks to him and says, you didn't see the malach that was standing in the way, and I did, which the Gemara also accuses him of in another place. But over here, we do not incriminate him with that because sometimes it happens, and we see that with like the vision of Daniel, that the other Nevi'im ran away, even though Daniel was able to see the vision. That sometimes your mazel or something like that notices something or is able to capture something even though you don't. So sometimes the animals have an ability to feel or sense something, even though the human being is not sensing it because Hashem's protecting them from it, or is giving them the capacity to get around without being scared by it, or the animal can't. So that's not the question of the Gemara. The Gemara is bringing the question that we actually saw together in Perek HaChelek, also appears in Brachot. So this Agadah should be familiar to you. We saw it twice before, which is, my da'at ve'emdo lo ha'yoda. What was the understanding or the knowledge that his animal had that he wasn't aware of? When the Zikne Moab came to him and they see that he's riding on his donkey, why aren't you riding a horse? Be more becoming of someone of your stature, moves faster, why are you on that slow donkey? I sent it out to graze in the marshland. Then the donkey pipes up and says, aren't I your donkey? Yeah, you carry my loads. I don't just carry your loads. You ride on me. I carry you. Yeah, that's when my horse is out grazing. You're my backup. Or when I have to put the car in the shop, you're the backup. Or the other car. Donkey says to him, from the time you've been around till today, you've been riding me. I don't know what you're talking about. Not only that, you ride me during the day, and you spend time with me at night. So the pashup shot is, did I ever put you in danger that this time when I stopped for the malach, that you were worried that you're beating me, thinking that I'm endangering you by stopping? Why would you have thought this time that I was doing something wrong? The Gemara reads this, it says by Abishag Shunamit, when she goes to warm up David, she was like a nurse to him, or she was like a blanket or warmth to him. So sochenet over there means like a partner in bed. And so to over here, they're saying that the word skeni skanti, they're reading the word sochen, that he kept him company in bed. He was trying to speak to these zikne milav. He doesn't tell the truth. And then his donkey pipes up and tells the truth. So he knows what's going on in heaven. He doesn't know what's going on with his donkey or that his donkey is going to pipe up and dispel his whole story. What does it mean that he knows what's going up in the heavens? He had one thing that he knew how to do, and that was to get the moment that God got angry. He knew how to get to that moment. So he had that one skill set. It was an important skill set, but that's all he knew about Datayon. I know the Gamarlo the Navi. And that's what the Navi says in Micha's Daf Torah for Parshat Balak. Ami zechar na mayatz Malak Melech Moav. Remember what Malak Melech Moav had planned or strategized against you. Umeanauto Bilam ben Beor min Hashitim v'ada Gilgal. And how Bilam responded to him. Amadatz kot Hashem. So that you should know how generous Hashem was to you, or how kind Hashem was to you in protecting you from the curse of Bilam, because Bilam and Balak had planned to curse you, and through their brachot that Bilam ends up giving, you can see the curses that he was attempting to give, and that was at Tzidkot Hashem that he blocked him. Rashi says, Mineshitim out of Gilgal means, Adboechem el Gilgal, Shipalti livnechem sonechem. So Mineshitim is where the incident with Bilam takes place. Out of Gilgal is when you finally fight your enemies and you kill them out, where the battle they have with the Midjanim later on. From the Shitim until the Gilgal, God took care of you. God was kind to you in the fact that see how much goodness that I did for you during that time period. I did not get angry during that period of time. Had I gotten angry at any moment then, lo nishter me'ovdei kochavim esuneim shel Yisrael saridu palit. Then the ovdei kochavim would have left none of those that hate Israel, even a remnant or a refugee, which is the fact, suneim shel Yisrael is lashon sagid nahor, there wouldn't have been a remnant from Yisrael, because Bilam would have been successful. So God says, I basically have to suspend being angry from the time that Bilam's trying to curse you until the time that you actually battle and kill him. I couldn't get angry because otherwise he would have finished you off based on his ability to the kavein et ha-sha'ash ha-kodesh baruch hu ka-asba. V'ayinu d'gamalei Bilam le-balak. And that's what Bilam says to Balak. Makov lo kabokel. What I want to curse, God is not cursing. Ma'zom lo za'am Hashem. And what I wanted to get angry at and take my wrath out on, Hashem refuses to get angry. And that is a description of the fact that Hashem suspended his anger during that period of time. He's not getting angry. And he doesn't want to curse. B'nai Yisrael, v'kama za'amo. How long is the anger or the wrath of God? Rega. It's for a moment. V'kama rega. And how long is a rega? Amameimar v'itemaravina rega kimemre. Rega is like saying rega. If you say rega, that is the amount of time that it is a rega. So now, what's interesting about that is, Tosfot asked the question, when, how does Bilam going to curse them? If all he has is a rega, what is he going to say during that period of time that's actually going to bring a curse? Tosfot says, Hayomer Kalim, wipe them out. So that's also a three-letter word, that is two syllables. So he could have said Kalim, and that would have wiped them out. And Hashem reordered the Kalim into Melech. And that's what it says in the Pasuk, Truat Melech Bo, by the Brachot of Bilam. And again, it says from the Pasuk that Hashem turned the blow to brachot, and that's why Chazal say, from the brachot, you can tell what the klalot were. So Truat Melech Bo really was, and he wanted to kalim, he wanted to destroy them. That's how Tosafot deals with one way. The second way Tosafot deals with it is to say, Rabbi Eliyahu had a different answer, which was that you just have to start at that moment. You don't have to get the whole thing in at that moment, you just have to start the curse at that moment, and anything you say afterwards will be captured by the start of the curse. Gemara says, Uminalan derega beritkei. How do we know that God only gets angry for a rega? Not how long is a rega, but how do we know it's only a rega? Dichtiv, ki rega be'apo, chayim birtzono, that Hashem's anger is momentary. Chayim birtzono, he grants life by his will. Yibaydeim ha'malcha, and some say from here, chavi kimat rega, adyavor zam. You should bide yourself a moment until God's anger passes. So now, you ask the question, what was the result of this? I spoke this out when we did this in Perek HaChelek as well, which is that the world is in balance. And it means that God's anger is important for keeping the world in balance. And we see over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to suspend his anger during this period of time. In suspending his anger, he does a tremendous staka and chesed to B'nai Yisrael, allowing his anger to be manifest, and therefore they don't get cursed. But that means that maybe there's too much staka or chesed or rachamim in the world, which then results in something bad, which is, at the end of the parsha there, we end up with them being mezaneh with bnot Moav, and we know that the Torah calls arayot chesed hu, and that arayot are a derivative of the side of chesed or rachamim, as opposed to anger, which is from the side of the din. So it might be that the fact that Hashem suspended his anger during that period of time and increased the tzedakah and rachamim, that led to the behavior B'nai Yisrael had with B'nai Moav, because of there was too much chesed in the world, too much to one side, and that causes them to sin in a different way or has itself manifest in another way until Hashem brings it back into balance when they finally take retribution and battle with the Midian and kill Bilam. And all's there where Hashem can bring it back into balance. Right? Then the Gemara says, Eimat Ratach. When is that moment that Hashem gets angry? You know, we're saying Bilam knows it, and we want to know it too. When does he get angry? Amrabai b'tzlat shayi kamaita. In the first 3 hours of the day, the Bali Tosafot would say, Bishlishit, in the third hour, and we'll see why in a second, Tosafot says that, Tichivra karbaloto detanagola. When the mane or crown of the rooster is white. It says, Koshata Vishata Mechaber Chivara. All the time, the mane or the crown of the rooster is white. No, Koshata Ipes, Soraiki, Sumke. The rest of the time, there are always these red streaks in the white mantle, mane, or crown. Haishata Lepe, Saruke, Sumke. During that period of time, there are no red streaks. It is completely white. And that is the moment. If Yeshua ben Levi, Ava Mitzar Lehao Mino, Bekrai. It's giving me a very hard time in the psukim. Again, here another evidence of the fact that this is a focus on Torah Shebichtav, and he was giving Rabbi Shimon Levi a hard time. Yomachad nakat tarnagola. One day he took a rooster. Vokma ben kare da arsa. He placed it between the feet of the bed. Vain be. And he kept looking at it. Savar ki mata hayishata alache. When that moment comes, when it turns white, I'm going to curse him. So he thought it would be effective to get rid of him. Ki mata hayishata nimne. When that moment came, he dozed off. Amar shmamina la borach ara lemavid hochi. It's not acceptable, or Hashem doesn't want you to do this, and that's why I dozed off. Virachamav al kol ma'asav k'tiv. Because it says about Hashem that he has mercy on all of his creations, and therefore he has mercy on this man as well, and he doesn't want me to curse him or to kill him. Uchdiv gam anosh l'tzadik lo tov. And this is something we spent a lot of time on when we spoke about this in Sanhedrin, which is that when the tzadik brings punishment upon the rasha, gam anosh l'tzadik lo tov. It's also not good for the tzadik as well. And if he was successful, Rabbi Shuben Levi, even though he's successful in getting the punishment for someone who seemingly deserved it, nevertheless, if you are the cause for someone else getting punished, then you will be held accountable for that. And that's what we saw by Navota Karmeli, that Ruach Navot that came out and caused the punishment of Achav, he was held accountable for the fact that he was the cause for that punishment. And so we saw over there, we discussed it a number of times about the Gadato, that it's very problematic in terms of an individual causing others to be punished. And similarly over here. Tosafot has an interesting comment over here. He says, what is the girsa in the Gemara? And this happens a lot. Here we have the girsa of Haumina. The other time it was Hau Oveid Kochavim. And the girsa got changed around by the censors, because if in the Gemara Min meant a Christian, then any time it had a Min, the censor would change it to Oveid Kochavim. So it's very hard to know in the Gemara if it uses Oveid Kochavim or Min, which one it's speaking about and who changed it and whether it was changed. But Tosafot says the din is different. Because if it is an Oveid Kochavim, there we have a din of lo ma'alin velo moridin. We don't push them into the pit, but we also don't take them out of the pit. So here, Rabbi Shulman Levi was going to kill him, cursing on him. So that would have been too severe a punishment. You're not allowed to go and kill him and push him into the pit. So he says here, that meant he wanted to curse him, haziko biklalato. He was trying to injure him or have him be difficult, but not to kill him. The other hand, he says, if it is a min, where there you're even allowed to push him in, be a dayim, there he meant to say that he wanted to kill him. I mean, that he was going to use the curse to kill him. Because over there, afapisha kofrim, muridim lebor, nami, necha, devale, bikesh, larog, biklalato. And if they get kofir, where you're allowed to push him into the boar, then he wanted to kill him with this curse. Nevertheless, the Gemara says over here, shmamina, labor achara. That's not the proper way to behave with the min. Even though when the Beit HaMikdash was extant, you could push him via diamond to the boar. Nevertheless, now when you have the Hester Panim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the right way to behave. It's not the right way to deal with it. And therefore, he wasn't given the right to kill him. So Tosafot deals with both Girsot. Whether it's Oveid Kochavim or whether it's a min, explains his curse in both ways. So Tana Mishmei Rabbi Meir, B'shash HaMelachim Menichim Kitreihem B'roshehem. It's the time when the kings put their crowns on their heads. And they bow down to the sun. That's when God gets angry. And that's why the Baal HaTos said before, when it says in the first 3 hours, it means the third hour. Because the Mishnah in Brachot says, when is Zman Kriyat Shema? Ad Shlosha Olt. Because that's when the kings get up on the third hour. And so that's how you know that it's being meant not the 3 hours, but the third hour of the 3 hours. Arav Yosef. Lovitzle inish saluta de musve bitlat shayi kamaita. A person should not daven musaf in the first 3 hours of the day. When it comes to the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and you are a yachid. So if you're not in the tzibur, you're not davening with the tzibur, you should not daven musaf on the first day of Rosh Hashanah in the first 3 hours of the day. Dilma kevin de mafkid dino, since Hashem is engaged in judgment and in din. Dilma ma'ayne b'obdei, maybe they'll look into his slate carefully. And they'll push away his tefillah, and they will not accept his tefillah. It says, Yachid the tzibur nami. That's true by Yachid. Why isn't it true by the tzibur as well? The tzibur nefisha zichutei. Again, the power of the tzibur is so great, it can overcome that problem versus the Yachid that can't overcome the problem. It says, Yachid the tzafra nami lo. So then, what about the fact that the Yachid's allowed to daven shacharit then? Why is he only not allowed to daven musaf? Why not about shacharit? Came in the ikka tzibura, the kab matzlu, since the tzibur davens then, lo kamidache. He will not get knocked off. The morning, everybody davens shacharit. The question is, when does the tzibur get the musaf? The tzibur gets the musaf, it's different in different places, depending where you daven. That's how long shacharit takes. And then after shacharit, you can have musaf. But the zman of musaf is both in the morning and the afternoon, so there's no guarantee they're going to get to musaf during the morning, and then you'd be davening alongside the tzibur. But if you daven shacharit, everybody's got to daven shacharit in the morning, because that's the zman of shacharit. So therefore, you can daven along with the tzibur, and this is the indication, the Gemara in Brachot says the same thing, that there is a benefit or a value, but Yachid can't make it to shul or make it to minyan, that he daven at the same time as the tzibur. Now, it's much better to be with the tzibur, that the Gemara makes clear, that Tosafot brings it over here. Sounds like from this Gemara, it helps you, even if the tzibur is somewhere else, it helps you with your davening. That just helps that your tefillah is not knocked away. That doesn't mean it's going to be heard. That's where it's going to be heard. So there are three levels. Rejected, that's when you daven alone. Not rejected, that's when you daven at the same time as the tzibur. Accepted, that's when you daven with the tzibur. Literally, you're with the tzibur. And so that's what it means over here, that shacharit, everybody davens then. Most of you don't know, and therefore you can't daven at any time. Didn't you tell us before, in the order of the day, and Gimel Amud Bet, the 12 hours of the day, the first 3 hours, Hashem is usik b'Torah, and then the second 3 hours, he's done. So then it would be the other way around. How can you say, don't daven during the first 3 hours? That's the time Hashem's in Torah. The next 3 hours are the din. Epoch, flip it around. Make it that the first 3 hours are din, and the second 3 hours, he's usik b'Torah. That's why the Baalei Tosfot yesterday rejected the view that in Musaf, Kedusha, that Mimkomo Yifein Berachamim was a reference to Hashem moving from the Kisei Din to the Kisei Rachamim, because the Gemara over here flips it and moves the Din earlier to the first 3 hours, not in the time that they're davening, and he is not moving from Kisei Din to Kisei Rachamim during that period of time when they are davening. Don't flip it around. Torah dichti be'emet, Torah about which it is said truth, dichtiv emet knei ba'altimkor, as the way Rashi explains it over here, you should acquire knowledge and Torah by paying for it. Val timkor. But when you are giving over Torah, you should not charge for it. You should dispense Torah freely. But if you have to acquire it and you need to pay to acquire it, you should pay to acquire it. But there you see the word emet is used, and emet has no room. Emet is not flexible. So Torah, about which it said emet, there's no flexibility during the first 3 hours. And of course, Baruch Hu said, "Lifnei Meshirat Din." Therefore, God can't go inside the letter of the law. Din, Delokti Be'emet. Din, which has the word Emet, does not appear with Din. Because Baruch Hu said, "Lifnei Meshirat Din." God there can't go inside the letter of the law, or it has flexibility to deal with it. And that maybe goes back to what we saw in the beginning of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the argument about whether Din or Shara, and that the ability to go to Fnimashirat Din is not necessarily in conflict or lacking consonance with the concept of Din. As opposed to Emet, which is knowledge about the absolute truth. And when you have knowledge about the absolute truth, then you can't do Pshara. That's actually what the Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about. And here the Marsha notes it, that once the Dayan knows which way the case is going, he can no longer offer Pshara anymore because he already knows what the Emet is. So Emet has no flexibility, whereas Din does have flexibility. And even though, as Rashi notes over here, that the Pasuk says, V'aktiv in Tehillim, Mishpatei Hashem Emet, doesn't it say that the laws of God are Emet, or Mishpatei, the judgment of God is truthful? B'mishpatim aktuvim b'Torah. That's speaking not Mishpatei, God's judgment, but rather the laws of God, like Mishpatim, those are Emet. V'tzivam Nisrael, because the pasuk right before that says "Pekudei Hashem Yisharim," that the commands of Hashem are straight, are just, and then it says "Mishpatei Hashem Emet." So it's clear in the context of the pasuk that "Mishpatei Hashem" is not speaking about his judgments, but rather about his laws, and it's also a reference to the Torah. And therefore, "Emet" is only by the Torah. And as Rashi points out over here, the uniqueness of the musaf of Rosh Hashanah is that musafei kol hashanayin shevach b'sipurei maaseh. Musaf all year long is just praise to God, and storytelling, which is our sins cause the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed, and therefore we can't bring the Korbanot. We really wish we could bring the Korbanot. That's the basic theme of Musaf. But Musaf Rosh Hashanah, Toshu Mitpalel Malchiot, Zichronot V'Shofarot, which mentioned the Malchut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we ask that Hashem rule over the whole world. Mifka Dina Tvei, that's a serious issue, and that has to do with Din. And that alerts Hashem, it brings up the possibility that this person is going to be judged because of that. Therefore, a person should not deviate or leave the Tzibur because he could be afforded that protection of the Tzibur, which is so important to Rosh Hashanah and the Din on Rosh Hashanah. So there's something unique about the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Of course, you could have just made the distinction that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, and that's what makes it distinct from Musaf on any other time period, vis-a-vis Rosh Hashanah. It's also, if you're the Ramban, Ala Torah, describes the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim in the following manner. It's in a Kabbalistic way. He says that Rosh Hashanah is Din Berachamim, whereas Yom Kippur is Rachamim B'Din. And so the nature of those 2 days is very different, but that shows you that Rosh Hashanah has that aspect of Din that is associated with it. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ma'idiftei Vashar Nochi Mitzavacha Hayom La'asutam. Now we're going back to something we quoted yesterday's daf when we were dealing with the non-Jews making a claim for a reward. God says, you want me to give you a mitzvah now? How can I give you a mitzvah now? Don't we have the pasuk, Asher Nochi Mitzavacha Hayom La'asutam? Hayom La'asutam V'lo L'machar. La'asutam, for today to do them, not tomorrow. I mean, not in Olam Haba. Hayom La'asutam V'lo Hayom Nitol Scharam. And today to do them and not to take the reward. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Kol mitzvot shiyisrael osim ba'olam hazeh ba'ot umi'idot otam ne'olam haba. We also saw this quoted yesterday, that all mitzvot that the Jews do in olam hazeh, they come and testify for them ne'olam haba. That's what we say, that whenever time a person does a mitzvah or does something, a good deed, the Marsha told us on yesterday's daf, that creates a melitz yosher, that creates an advocate on behalf of the individual. And that's similar to what's being said here, that they come and testify on his behalf, shnemar. They will come and testify, and they will be vindicated or justified. Yishme'o, they will hear, v'yomru emet, and they will declare it is true. That's a reference to the Jews. This is what we saw in Rabbi Shimon ben Levi yesterday, who rejected the first understanding that was the goyim that were testifying. Here he says it's the Jews. The mitzvot of the Jews are testifying on their behalf, and they will be vindicated. Yishme'o, v'yomru emet. The non-Jews will hear the testimony of the mitzvot or the advocates, and they will say, Emet, they'll give the stamp of approval. Now we'll have a number of memorot of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, since we started with him. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol mitzvot shisol sim v'olam hazeh, ba'ot v'tofrot utam l'obdeku chavdim l'olam haba'al pneyem. All the mitzvot that the Jews or Israel do in this world will come and slap the non-Jews in their faces, latid lavosh. Ne'amar, ushmartem v'asitem, you shall keep and do the mitzvot, kihi chokhmatchem uvinatchem. It is your wisdom and your understanding, le'ne'amim, in the eyes of the other nations. Rashi over there brings the Midrash Chazal, that's a reference to the calendar and the intercalation of the calendar and the wisdom that you have there. Neged amim lo ne'amar doesn't say opposite the amim, or in their view, ela le'ne'amim, in their eyes. L'amei shabot, the torfot of the chachamim, opne'em lo lam haba, comes and slaps them on their faces, in their eyes, basically, so that they can see the mitzvot. The only reason that Bnei Yisrael worshipped the ego was so that they could open up a path for people who want to do tshuva. Hashem says about the people's reluctance to continue to hear from him at Har Sinai, says the Yirat Hashem that they have today, halavai, should just continue. But it makes it sound like they had a tremendous Yirat Hashem, and that Yirat Hashem would have prevented them from worshiping the ego. So how come they worship the ego? Because to give pitchon pet, to give the opportunity for the Balei Tshuva. I know there be Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shem Yachai, lo David ra'oi lo tomaseh, v'lo Yisrael ra'oim lo tomaseh. David HaMelech was not worthy of that action. I mean, based on who he was and his character, he should not have engaged in this activity with Bathsheba. Lo Yisrael roi lo tomasen. The Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar were also not roi le'egel. Lo David roi lo tomasen dichtei, because it says about himself in Tehillim, v'libi chalal bikirbi. My heart died or was empty inside of me. Libi over here is a reference to the Yetzer Hara. And he says that there is no desire and there was no Yetzer Hara inside of me. Lo Yisrael roi lo tomasen dichtei mitein v'yelav v'amzeh lahem v'yirauti kol yamim. They had tremendous Yirat Hashem. And the Gemara here is very reminiscent of the Gemara in Shabbat that says, Kol Omer David Chata Eino El Toeh, and there's a number of people that it says it about. Although if you look in the Marsha, he explains the Gemara
more along the lines of not that they didn't deserve to do this sin, or not that they didn't do this sin, but rather they should have been worthy of Hashem's interceding to protect them from having this sin. And only because Hashem wanted paradigm of tshuva to come through here, Hashem did not intercede to protect them based on their previous ma'asim. So in the end, it was their sin. It just was something that you would have expected Hashem to help them with, and he didn't because of what our Gemara is telling us here. They wanted to open the door of tshuva. Ela lamasu. Why did that happen to them? If a individual sins, go look and see, David also sinned, and he did tshuva, and he was able to survive the sin, and we tell him the same thing, that they'll be paradigmatic in nature for tshuva. And if the tzibur sins, omrim lahu, we say to them, lahu etzel tzibur, go to the tzibur, go look at the worshippers of the Egel, who also survived that sin, because they did tshuva. We need both of them. If you only told me about a yachid, or only gave us the paradigm of a yachid, because it's not so publicly known, it's not so well known as sin. But that their sin is well known, or it's out in the public sphere, maybe you can't have tshuva. And obviously that publicity, as Rashi notes, leads to a great chilul Hashem. And maybe because of that, the tshuva cannot be accepted. So we needed a paradigm for the tzibur doing tshuva. If you only thought about the tzibur, mishom denefishe rachmayu, or zichutayu, that they have great merit, or Hashem has rachamim on the tzibur, but yachid lo, libas chutei, that his merits are not great, emalo, we would say no, tzricha, that's why we need both of them. Behind him, the Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, that's what's meant by this memra, from the pasuk in Shmuel Bet, my dichtiv, what is meant? Ne'um David ben Ishai, un'um a gever who come al. And it says, this is the word of David ben Ishai, the word of the man who come al, who is established up high. Ne'um David ben Ishai, sheikim, ola shel tshuva. You could read it as ola, the tshuva, that he got above, or he rose above it because of tshuva. And that's why it was who come al. Ola means the ability to succeed and overcome and rise above the chait through tshuva. Or you can read it that Num David ben Ishai sheikim ula tshuva, which is that it refers to an ol, a yoke. The fact that the word al over here is written with a komatz instead of a patach, so they reinterpret it to mean ol instead of al. And the explanation would be the following. From the word ol, that from David a melech, you learn that the yoke of tshuva, or the responsibility, or ability, or capacity to do tshuva, even though the pashtut of pshat is what I told you before, which is hukam al, that it established them upon high, nevertheless, since the language is so unusual of hukam al, they reinterpreted al to mean ol, and be a yoke instead of upon high, and from that they learned David was the one carrying the yoke of tshuva, because of the sin that he supposedly was undeserving of doing, that he engaged in. Okay, we'll stop here. 10 lines down on the top of Hey Amud Aleph.